Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How's everybody feeling right now, honestly? Hold up your drinks if you're drinking. Hold up your smoke if you're smoking. Sing it if you know it, y'all.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
www.com. Hey, if you want to go to the K-Rock website, it's www.krock.com. That's Rock of the Q. We got it July. We got a little bit of Justin Bieber. We also got some Chris Raff.
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio. I'm sorry. I've got to collect myself because this is what our youth is being subjected to.
Thank you for your opinion.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I got two guys that are going to get you in the dancing mood.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what time it is.
And now, when you write it, you have to see it in your mind, right? I mean, it can't have looked like it does.
Our feature presentation.
It's a sterling question right there. Mm-hmm. Very happy with that. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 14th of June.
What's up, Devil Dogs?
Okay. Take it.
Thank you. Jensen, how are you feeling?
I'm doing good.
Happy for Drake?
I'm happy for Drake. We have two new Drake songs hitting today. Mm-hmm. It's a national holiday in Canada. Mm-hmm. Not for the Raptors, for the Drake songs. And yeah, that's a big deal, man. That I mean, listen, everyone is injured.
I mean, that's the truth is that the entire other team had to fall down.
Yeah, I don't know what haunted tiki they stole from Hawaii from a cemetery, but the Warriors have bad luck.
Yes.
And this was worse, rumor out of Golden State.
Yes.
Durant misses all of next season.
Oh.
I mean, he's looking at a new contract anyway, so we might not be in Golden State, but that's terrible. And then other news, Klay Thompson, torn ACL.
Oh, mm-hmm. It was that bad.
He'll be out for a while as well. So this is not good.
Yeah, this could be the end of the dynasty.
Yes.
I just am so fascinated with the Drake curse. I don't know how much stock he put in it, but it certainly has. It's certainly a plot line that has gotten wide attention in recent months, mm-hmm. And he just must feel like he did something, you know, to finally get it off his back.
The dude did an after game interview. He did a post.
He never does interviews.
No, he walked out while like a player. He walked out, stopped at the press, talked about how great it feels to be champion. I mean, no one makes me laugh more than Drake.
He thinks he's on the team.
Yeah, when they lost Game 5, he left out the players' exit. With his head down, giving high fives, but not looking at the people, just like a player who lost.
Just like he just lost. It was his fault.
He lives it, and it's hilarious to him. Yeah.
But he wants dip with his chip, is what I understand.
Love that.
He does what dip with his chip.
Yes.
So, and now he's got it. So congratulations to Canada. This is the first time the NBA trophy has ever been in Canada.
Yeah. Toronto Raptors win NBA championship does sound like something out of Back to the Future 2.
It does.
Yes.
Doesn't sound real. Yeah.
So, good times. You guys see Natalie Burr, the valedictorian whose speech has electrified the nation this week?
I did not.
I have not either.
She is a senior at San Ysidro in San Diego. And, it started off as a fairly typical speech from a valedictorian.
Good evening, parents, friends, staff, and class of 2019. It's a pleasure to speak here to you today. I'd like to give recognition to those who have greatly influenced me during the past 4 years.
I mean, she could spice it up a little bit. I mean, she could.
Oh, she's gonna bring it. This is just the setup.
So then she you know, thanked her family, of course, for their support and their love. Couldn't have made it without you, Mom and Dad. And then she thanked a couple of teachers that she had. And then she went on to thank her friends. And just when I thought, well, I don't know why I'm watching this, things take quite a turn in Miss Burr's speech.
To my friends, thank you for always being by my side. I appreciate your love and support always. And we'll treasure the memories we made at this school.
All right, here comes the plot twist.
To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments.
Okay, so... So if you're not paying attention, it sounds like she's just droning on about school
stuff.
Yeah,
same words, but the words have actually changed.
Yes, and this was not in the prepared remarks that were approved by the school before she gave her speech. So thanks to the counselors who were never available for me, even when I had appointments.
Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance. And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievement.
She's burning the place down.
And the tone, man. She's so down the middle.
Yes. Yeah, she is. She's got ice water in her veins, man. She's an assassin, and she's
That's why all of the words before that were meaningless, because she was focusing on the fire.
Yeah, she is the Kawhi Leonard of valedictorian.
That's right. Exactly. Great analogy.
To the staff in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly.
Now, I have to ask, aren't you expecting her microphone to get cut off at any moment?
Or a response at all from the audience?
Yes.
It's total silence. No applause, no laughter.
Yes. You think you get one or the other. I would think applause.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept waiting for the principal or counselor or somebody just to come and A, turn the mic off, and B, just escort her off the stage.
I feel like that is a move that makes them look too bad. Mm-hmm. I feel like you sort of just have to let her go.
Yeah. Well, she's almost done, but she does have another target once she finishes with this office.
I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach any sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class.
Okay. Now, this is the one where all of a sudden, Jensen, you get your wish.
Yeah.
Because the students apparently are very aware of this teacher.
Yes.
And they perk up.
To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year. Thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
All right, so here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
Baller move or completely inappropriate, irresponsible, and you'd never hire somebody who would do something like that at their valedictorian speech? Could it be right message, wrong time, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, two different things. Would you hire her is a completely different thing than right thing.
I'd hire her.
You would?
You would.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have a teacher. Whenever I hear people were like inspired by teachers in high school and stuff, I didn't have one of those. Everyone bummed me out.
So you're bitter too?
Yeah, I would have definitely done that. And I don't think it shows any, you know, just, she's well, probably
a lot
right.
Of people she's are saying, probably look, right. That's yes. what, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she's right. I'm sure that everything she said is true. I have no reason to suspect it's not. But a lot of people think this is, hey, look at me. This is, hey, you're hijacking the ceremony to air your own dirty laundry. Hey, this puts a pall on the enjoyment of the day for everyone else. I mean, I think all of those are legitimate concerns to bring up. I just wonder if you think she did the right thing or if this is a good look for her. I mean, it's entertaining for us because we're not involved. But if you were at that with your daughter graduating from high school, Kevin, would you have been down for it?
I mean, don't you feel like there was a lot of stuff that went down behind each of those accusations?
Sure.
Like there must have been.
I believe her. I believe what she went through is accurate. I'm just wondering if that's the forum for it.
I would have said, you go, girl.
I do forget that Kevin is the chaos candidate.
Yeah.
Let the chips fall where they may.
I bring chaos. That's my job.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so there's Natalie Burr. I'm sure colleges are very excited to see her application come through the mail this
week. Well, she's an exciting speaker, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm Burr 2020.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wow, you cute, but you dumb.
I'll take it. Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Randall Park in studio.
The man.
Love him.
Love him so much.
This is an overnight success who's been working for 25 years.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he's everywhere and everyone loves him. It must feel so gratifying for him to have worked this hard and be where he's at.
Jimmy Pardo, our friend and comedian, is going to call and try and talk some sense into Bean, who believes that he's going to run a marathon.
He is going to tell me how he did it.
Right. Might not translate. That's all I'm saying. Might not translate.
How dare you?
You sleep with something comforting from your childhood. Had a study yesterday that said 34%.
Yeah.
That's shockingly high.
That is really, really creepy.
That's really weird. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about Chernobyl, and our listener Christina went there on vacation.
My kind of gal.
She is your kind of gal. Anything that involves death or possible death, you're in. So we're going to talk to her coming up as well. Plus, we've got your tickets for that secret Blink 182 show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
In for Allie, here's Jensen. Time for What's Happening.
Oh, hi. For reals, though, we just added a segment that gave away the Blink tickets. Like, that's what we did. We just put it in the schedule. Then when we were told there were no tickets for us,
that's true.
We didn't take it off the schedule.
We said, you know what? It's on the schedule already.
Right.
And on our little commercial thing. So go ahead and just find some tickets.
I mean, it's in ink.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't fix it.
Can't
already
fix it. Right.
That's how stuff works.
Has anybody had a better few years than Dave Chappelle?
He seems to be cresting right about now.
Say no.
I mean, I don't know. The time they gave him $50 million to redo the TV show was a pretty good year, too.
Yeah, but then the same year he ran away.
Yeah.
Same year he just took off to Africa. Well, he won his first Emmy in 2017 for his hosting of SNL, another Emmy in 2018 for Outstanding Variety Special for his Netflix comedy special, and then he picked up Grammys for Best Comedy Album in 18 and 19, and Chappelle's also set to win the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center in October. So how do you follow that up? Broadway. Dave Chappelle will be making his Broadway debut this summer with a five-run show.
Five-run?
Yes. Would you guys be excited to see Dave Chappelle
on Broadway? I would. Absolutely.
I'd be excited to see Dave Chappelle in line at a Starbucks.
Every time I've seen him, he's fantastic.
He is hilarious. Now, do you guys know about the company he owns with the phone pouches?
I don't.
Mm-mm.
So it's become a big thing.
I like the word phone pouch.
This is the thing where you have to give your phone up and you can't use it during a show.
Oh, yes, correct. Okay. So basically you give your phone in, they hand you this pouch, you put it in, they have a little mechanism that closes it. You basically carry around a little purse.
You can keep it, but it's locked.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
that happened at movie screens.
There you go. Yeah. And now they're making it so you can't cut through it. There's all these, you know, and he's a part owner of the company. So they're going to be doing it on Broadway, which I feel like is a good trend, because remember all these like actors and actresses who were like, stop texting.
In the middle of it. Yeah.
Yeah. This could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster's verified fan presale program for the Broadway show begins Tuesday, but general public will be able to buy tickets June 21st.
General public is going to be there?
Yes.
That's a weird mix.
General public opening for Dave Chappelle.
is the phone pouch company called Yonder, Jensen? Does that sound right?
I don't know what his is specifically called.
Okay.
There's three different companies, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
But that is one of them. A huge trailer hit online yesterday for a movie called Dr. Sleep, which is from director Mike Flanagan, who I'm a huge fan of. And it picks up 40 years after Stanley Kubrick's classic film, The Shining.
Really?
So this is a grown-up Danny, played by Ewan McGregor. He meets a young girl named Abra, who possesses the same exact power as he does, which we remember is The Shine. Or The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Danny soon learns that Abra is on the run from a group called the True Knot, who seek people with the Shine power as well in hopes of gaining immortality. Now, Dr. Sleep is based on a Shining sequel that author Stephen King wrote. And something that you should know about it, Stephen King hated Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
He was the only one.
Didn't he hate a lot of projects that were made out of his books?
I tend to think it's the ones he's not involved in.
Okay.
But he hated this one very much and always wanted someone to make this. So Flanagan stepped up, who's had great existence with Netflix recently. This is going to go to theaters on my birthday, November 8th. And the sequel hits theaters.
Already working his birthday, Bean.
Guys, write it down. We know what happened with Allie.
This is Jensen's birthday year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, Allie only got sung Louis Anderson. So try to step that up.
Okay. I thought that was pretty good.
The sequel will hit theaters 39 years since the film starring Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall debuted. So that's a big deal. You guys going to see that?
No.
I think so.
No, says Bean?
No.
Wow.
It takes a lot to get me to see a movie. You know that.
Wow.
Take subtitles first. Mm-hmm. It has to be in black and white. I mean, that's preferable.
And then
he'll go. Foreign. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a documentary.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. I need all those things. Specific things there.
Yeah.
Thinking about going to see the Laurel Canyon movie this weekend, though.
That is very Bean.
I'm really excited about it.
And this is what? A doc on Laurel Canyon?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Where do you see that when you're out of L.A.?
How dare you? I live in America.
Okay.
What?
For a little.
For now, yeah.
A second woman is accusing Cuba Gooding Jr. of groping her. Cuba Gooding of Show Me the Money fame. The second incident has occurred more than a decade ago, sources tell Page Six. But this is after someone came forward just a few days ago accusing the Oscar winner of misconduct in an incident that happened at a rooftop bar in Manhattan last Sunday. Cuba Gooding Jr. surrendered to police Thursday night over the incident on Sunday, and the 51-year-old Oscar winner was at a police station around 11 and arrested and charged with forcible touching, which is quite a charge name.
That is strange.
Gooding Jr. has maintained his innocence and says he trusts the system to exonerate him. His lawyer has noted that there's a 2-year statute of limitations on that second misdemeanor charge, and they have video evidence of the first one. So this should be an easy case to look over, right?
I would think so.
He's a wild and crazy kid.
He is, yeah.
It's a reference to his brother. Guys, happy birthday to a bunch of people. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Culture Club lead singer Boy George, tennis star Steffi Graf, screenwriter Diablo Cody, Duke basketball player about to be the number 3 NBA pick, RJ Barrett, and Apprentice host Donald Trump. That's what's going on.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
People are watching this show on Chernobyl, and then people are going to Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not
a
choice
sense.
I would make.
Really? I would totally go to Chernobyl.
I don't know. I just don't feel like I need to go visit scenes of horrific death.
Well, I have health concerns. You know what I
mean? Well, sure. I mean, they say there's a certain amount of time you could be there or not be there because of radiation and all that.
Yeah, that's my concern.
That's not great.
I know you think it's a death thing for me. It's not. It's that it was a place. By the way, let me back up one step.
Okay.
There are many people who have no idea what Chernobyl is even a reference to. This was a nuclear power plant. And by the way, at the time, nuclear power seemed like it was on the rise. It seemed like that was going to be the clean energy of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Chernobyl kind of changed that because the nuclear plant exploded in April of 1986 in Russia. And it killed dozens of people at the time just working in the plant. But the radiation afterwards killed, they don't tell us how many people.
They don't know, yeah.
Maybe thousands.
And
I mean,
basically clouded an entire city.
Yes.
Like it stuck around.
So everything had cancer and babies were born all weird and dogs and cats were living together. I mean, everything just went berserk.
And this lasts forever, right?
And it lasts forever.
Yeah,
it lasts forever. And I think I read there's 1,000 square miles around the Chernobyl power plant that nobody's allowed to live, for instance. 1,000 square miles.
Okay? And obviously, like, this was a big part of the TV show, but the government controlled how much information came in and out of Chernobyl.
Especially at that time, because it was Russian, right?
Well, that's
right.
Especially so much that any time, like, Chernobyl was mentioned on a phone call, they would, like, disconnect the phone call.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're pretty serious about it. So people have always been going to Chernobyl in limited tour groups. But now, as Kevin said, it has exploded because of the success of this HBO show, which has aired in America and in Britain so far. And I mean, last year there were 70,000 visitors. Last month there were 13,000. That shows you how big it's gotten just since the TV show aired. So we started talking about this the other day about how weird it is that Chernobyl is now a hotspot. And for many, there's a controversy because people are taking selfies there. And people are thinking that's uncool and a disaster site. But then we heard from one of our listeners, Christina, who actually has been to Chernobyl and said she had a great time.
It was a party.
Hey, Christina, how are you?
Hello. Yes, absolute party.
Where are you right now, Christina?
I am in your future home, London. In London. Maybe you won't be moving to London, but I'm in the UK.
Okay, gotcha. You're a podcast listener then?
Absolutely. I have been listening to you since 1992.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of bad choices. Wow. Thank you.
That shows you what the radiation will do to you. It makes you make terrible decisions. All right, so, Christina, I am fascinated. Thank you so much for emailing about this. When did you visit Russia and go to the Chernobyl disaster site?
So it was about a year and a half ago. We had some friends that I had gone to high school with that were in Ukraine, living there for a couple of years, and invited us to go visit them. And Chernobyl was a day trip from there. And it's one of the earlier memories of my life, and I've always been fascinated by it. So,
Christina, is it advertised as day trip? You can go there, check it out. That kind of thing?
You have to find it. So. Yeah, I mean, it's not, it was a, I just Googled it because we knew we were going there to that area. So there are loads of companies that do it, and there were a few tour buses in front of us. We had done a private tour, but I guess there's some kind of video game that takes place around there, and so a lot of people go because it's the setting of some video game they like.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know that. Wow. So what about Jensen's concern about the health issues? I mean, what do they tell you? What kind of warnings do they give you about how much exposure you can have to radiation and what it's likely to do to you?
Well, it's really interesting. So you have a radiation meter that you carry with you from the time you enter the exclusion zone. And it's not a Geiger counter, but it's something else like that. And you can see it will tick and it will tell you what the radiation is. And there are no problems. It's actually almost disappointing because it's really low.
You really wanted some radiation. You were really looking forward to it.
Christina wanted a tail.
I was fascinated to see what, I mean, I sort of expected it to be, you know, three-eyed fish and glowing trees.
Sure.
And it just wasn't. So you have to be with a tour guide who's certified when you go into the exclusion zone, which is a many, many mile area. And they'll show you where there are hot spots of radiation. So at one point, our guide put his meter just near a drain in the street, and it went off of the chart. But they all know where the safe places are to walk.
So do they? Though? I mean, do they?
Do you ever wonder why you never see the same tour guide twice?
That's right.
Christina, we're talking to Kevin Bean Lister, Christina, who has visited Chernobyl. She went about a year and a half ago with some friends. It's a very hot destination now for tourists because of the HBO show. I was starting to say earlier, it's not about the death for me in this. I'm fascinated with a place that is frozen in time. And that's what Chernobyl seems to be because, you know, that week, that month that happened, everybody left. And it's like walking into 1982 to see what's still standing. Is that the sensation that you got?
Absolutely. It isn't really very deathy. It's more abandoned. In fact, there's a memorial that we stopped at before we went in that shows the long walk down a field with all the signs of all the towns that were abandoned as a result of this. And the thing that's most striking, you walk into people, you know, like Soviet apartments, and you can see that it's frozen in time. Police station, the leisure center, and there's just nothing there. It looks like a apocalyptic movie. It's fascinating.
There was a theme park that was set to open like the same month as the explosion, and that theme park's just next door and looking like a horror movie, right?
Yeah, I sent through a couple of photos, and that was one of them. So that's all rusted out and creepy, and it was never used. Pripyat, which is the town right next to the power plant, was like a communist ideal of towns. It was a really great place to live. And you can see, you know, movie theaters and all the stuff that you don't really expect when I think about Soviet living. So people were really proud to be there. And now it's all just crumbling and decrepit. And it's fascinating.
That's where I plan on taking my selfie, right in front of the theme park with my arms up in the air. You'll take it from behind and it'll say the thoughts are limitless or something underneath.
What about the controversy, Christina? We're almost out of time here, but what about the controversy that you've probably been reading about people thinking it's inappropriate to take selfies at a place like that just because it's kind of a somber piece of real estate?
I think it is somber, and I went to Dachau concentration camp. I've been to places where I didn't feel it was appropriate to take a photo. I didn't feel that there. This is still they're building a second sarcophagus over Chernobyl to keep it entombed. It's a piece of history that's really fascinating, and it's not a place where a load of people died. A lot of people died, but not right there, right then. So it doesn't have that same feeling. It more is just historical.
Kevin, has Christina convinced you? Are you going to put it on your list for 2020, maybe to vacation?
I'm not going to put it on my list, but I'm more interested now than I was before.
Okay.
Thought it was just, hey, everyone died here, let's go. Mm-hmm. That didn't seem cool to me. But I do have one follow-up for Christina, and that's, you live in London. Do you have a job, and are you hiring?
I do have a job, and if you want to work in public housing, Bean, we'd love to.
There you go.
Fantastic.
There you go.
That's good.
Christina, can we be friends when I move?
I would love that. You know, I moved to Seattle before I lived here, and I actually served you food once.
Whoa! This just, the world just got very small, you guys.
What?
Oh my gosh. Right. So Bean has eaten food from someone who was at Chernobyl.
Right?
Oh,
no.
That might explain some things.
Wow. All right. We're gonna track this down offline, Christina. You're awesome for contacting us. Thank you for sharing your experience, and we'll talk again, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye now.
It's Kevin and Bean. K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bean, you remember in the early days when we had stuffed animal boy? Remember that guy?
Yes, Daniel was his name.
Where was he from? USC, I want to say.
Yes, yes. Wow, what a pull that was.
Right?
He was a collection of the oddball friends and family that we used to have.
And
on
he
the
used to
Beach
have
show.
Like 100 stuffed animals in his
room.
He
was obsessed with stuffed animals. I've not thought about him for years. How did we lose him but keep the Armenian comedian?
Well, the Armenian comedian is just straight gold.
Okay.
Right.
And we used to
mock him.
We did used to mock him.
Yeah, we did.
To think of it. but he was a freak show, though.
Right.
He had like 100 stuffed animals.
He did. Named it was extreme.
Them.
He did have names for all of them. That's true.
He had names for all of them, which, by the way, is very reasonable. You should name your stuffed animals.
Sure.
But I mean, he used to put on little shows with them and everything like that. And he had complex relationships between them all. It wasn't what I'm doing. Which
no,
is
of
just,
course not. You're oh, yeah, completely
no.
different.
Yeah, no, having separate different sock monkeys for different situations, you're right, is not as
nothing
scary
like
as
that.
What that kid did.
Nothing like it.
We did a story earlier this week. The sleep industry experts, known as Sleepopolis, I am unfamiliar with their work, but they did a survey of 2,000 adults and shockingly revealed that 34% still snuggle with a stuffed animal, a blanket, or some other anxiety-reducing item of sentimental value.
That number was shocking.
Surprising.
Yeah, that's way too many.
Very surprising. So these are people who, when they go to bed, they have something that they take with them.
You're a loser.
I don't know that that's where we're at.
I mean, I think that's where we're at. Is that what we're saying or not what we're saying?
I don't think it is what we're saying.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Because I think this is a no harm, no foul situation. And I'm going to tell you, this 34%, while the numbers surprised me, I guarantee if we open up the phones right now, we will have plenty of listeners who, as a matter of habit, every single night, they have to sleep with this thing.
Says the guy who does travel with a sock monkey.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, what if you went on a date and it went well, and it was the third date, and you're like, let's hang out. And then
hold on, Bean went on a third date?
I've never had a third date in my life, Jensen.
And you look over, and this man or woman is cuddled up to, like, a, I don't know, like a giraffe stuffed animal in their little nook.
I mean, honestly...
And they're a grown
I think it would be adorable.
Honestly, deal breaker. Almost.
Wow. Oh, no.
Almost. It depends. Like, are they perfect in every other way, maybe I can put up with the little stuffed giraffe.
Okay.
But if they're not, and it's questionable, that pushes me right over the edge the other way.
You're saying, like, they have to be super hot.
They have to overcome that. Yes.
Okay. Overcome the stuffed giraffe.
Yes, you do.
1-800-520-1067. If you sleep with a comfort item, we want to hear from you. What is it that...
It's
if you
not
guys...
just a comfort item. It's also a comfort item that reminds you of your childhood.
Right.
Or came from your childhood. Yeah.
What is... If you can put it into words, what is your problem with it?
I don't know. I feel like we're no longer eight.
Yeah, I feel like they're living in their childhood. They're not. There's something that went on in their childhood that is not letting them let go of something that reminds them of it.
Is it the end of the world? No, not of course it's not. But it is a little odd that they were unable to leave that part of their childhood in their childhood.
Like if I walked into a woman's bedroom and saw it filled with Barbie dolls, I'd be like, what creep are you? Like, I'd immediately think, like, something... Who hurt you?
Why haven't you moved on?
Yeah, why haven't you moved on?
How about... would it be like somebody sucking his thumb or having a pacifier?
If an adult had a pacifier, that might be a deal breaker.
Okay, I agree with you there.
Oh, I see how that works.
Yeah, I think the pacifier is taking it way too far.
We are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a comfort object from your childhood that you sleep with, but I'd like to delve into how Bean's sock monkey system works out. Like, you have more than one.
I do.
In case you wear one out?
Sometimes...
You have one at the ready?
You just want a little variety.
A little variety?
Yes.
How are they different?
Well, they're... I didn't really want to get into this part of it.
I know, but I do.
Right. You guys are probably going to figure out some way to twist my words.
Oh, yeah, we'll twist them.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to figure out some way to twist my words and make this sound creepy.
All right, we'll try not to.
But one of them is a ballerina.
What? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to twist those words by just saying them back to you.
One of them is a ballerina.
A sock monkey ballerina.
That is a ballerina. Yeah.
Okay.
One of them we call Choco Monkey because it's a...
Who's
a,
we?
Well, my
wife. Is that
wife.
The royal we or your wife? Your wife does not call your stuffed animals
I
names.
Think he means him and all the other sock monkeys.
Yeah, that's what
Choco,
I think too.
We have Choco Monkey, who's an all chocolate colored, you know, brown monkey. We have Super Monkey, who is a superhero. He's got like a little, you know, like a... This sounds dumb when I'm saying it out loud.
No, it sounds,
really normal. Actually, you're giving it some weight. Like, it's working out, actually.
Super Monkey has a cape.
What? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Has a cape.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
They all have different outfits and personalities, but, you know...
I'm sorry. I'd just like to stop you right there. Do they have personalities?
They do.
Do they?
And I'll rotate them if I've spent too much time with cheerleader sock monkey, then I'll say, well, now I got to move over to Super Monkey or whatever, or Choco Monkey or Travel Monkey. I have Travel Monkey too. That's the one that I take on trips and stuff. But it's not about me.
But you ever miss Super Monkey when you're on the road?
Well, it'd be ridiculous to sleep with more than one, Kevin. All right. 1-800-520-1067.
I also want to go on record as saying I am creeped out by the situations you've probably made with them, that you've probably drank tea with them. Like, I see you being just like a little proper girl.
Agreed.
With all your sock monkeys around you in a circle.
What if I were to tell you that Raquel is on the line in Whittier, line two? She'll be our first caller on this. The phones are blowing up, by the way, 1-800-520-1067. Raquel, help me out here because I feel like my coworkers don't understand where I'm coming
from.
Hey,
so far all that's happened is you've told us what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's it. We're not interpreting.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, Raquel. Hi.
I was like, hello. So, yes, I'm 37 years old, and I still sleep with a blanket that I've had since I was 6 years old.
Six.
And was there ever a time when you got to be like 10, 11, 12, 17, mm-hmm. whenever it was, when your parents said, hey, maybe you don't need that blanket anymore?
No, not at all.
You didn't have parents? That sucks. Mm-hmm.
No, they never really pushed me. I mean, they tried to suggest it here and there, but nope, I unapologetically keep it around.
Raquel, what does a 30-year-old blankie look like? What kind of shape is it in?
It's pretty much a scrap.
Just scraps. And so are you with someone or married or anything?
Yes, I'm married. I have a one-year-old.
Oh, is this, do you and the one-year-old share the blankie?
No, she has her own.
You're being selfish. That's my blankie, Raquel says.
Raquel, what does your husband or what does your partner think?
He's accepted it. He hasn't, again, tried to push me or take it away from me. I tell him if he tries to take it away from me, it's on.
Wow! Does it ever worry you, and have you ever tried to figure out a way to stop doing that?
I thought about it here and there, but it's really honestly very difficult. I have to travel with it. Every single night, I can't sleep. I can't relax unless I have my
But that's my point, which is that you're adding a whole layer of complexity to your life today that you don't really need.
Maybe, but it's comfort. It's not hurting anyone.
I'm not saying it's hurting anyone. I'm just saying you're creepy like Bean.
Let Raquel live, Kevin. Let her live.
Another therapist dream over here, Raquel.
Keep doing what you're doing, Raquel. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll hear from you next on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We are talking about people who sleep with things that they gave them comfort when they were a child.
We're talking about good people is what we're talking about.
Right, that's what we meant, yeah.
Yeah, people who know how to enjoy their lives.
34% of Americans sleep today with something that reminds them of the good times of their childhood.
Yvonne is one of them. Yvonne? She's on the phone right now. Hey, Yvonne.
Hi, it's actually not me. It's my 40-year-old husband.
All right.
Oh. Okay. All right, what's he got going on?
Yes. It's a blanket from when he was an infant, like he was swaddled with it.
Wow.
So now it's the size of a dish towel to him, right? Like,
oh my goodness. It is so tattered and disgusting and it stinks and it has holes in it and it sleeps in bed with us every night.
At what point did you find out about it? Way earlier in your relationship?
About 6 months in.
And did you think, wow, loser?
So at first I did.
Okay.
But in fairness, he lost his mother at a young age.
Oh,
so it's kind of like this. I know, right? Now it makes me feel like a jerk.
No, I mean, it's childhood trauma does change everything.
Yeah, but he smells it every night before we go to bed.
Okay. All right.
And he sleeps with it? Like, does he sleep with it, like, up near his face and, like, he's just, like, cuddled up with it?
Yes, like he'll put it on his face, like he'll lay on his back and like lay it on his face.
Oh, Yvonne.
But really?
I can't have it anywhere near my head because it stinks to high hell. He won't let me wash it.
Oh,
and
my God.
And he's still sexy to you, huh?
Oh, I love the man.
Have you ever washed it without him knowing, just to sort of get the stench out?
Once, and I got found out.
Oh. I got found out.
You got to get out of there, Yvonne. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you're...
Oh, wait, Bean, I thought there was nothing creepy about this.
I know you're... But I'm not putting a stinky blanket on my face either, though.
We don't know where you're putting your sock monkeys.
Okay, well, you should be asking Yvonne's husband about the holes in the blanket, too, while we're at it. All right. All the best to you, Yvonne. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you so much. This one from the 509. I am 40 and I sleep with a stuffed Ior. Or is it Eeyore?
Eeyore.
I think it's Eeyore, yeah. So that's happening.
Okay.
All right. Let's try Inglewood. Let's go to Jessica, please, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So you sleep with something that reminds you of your childhood, gives you comfort?
Yes. So when I was growing up, until I was probably 10, which was way too big, I slept with my grandma. And I would always use her little pillow. So when I moved out of her bed, I took that pillow with me, and I still use it every night. And I'm 31 now.
Now, but that reminds you of your grandma.
I can get with this a little, because how much does the pillow stand out? Like, does it look just like one of your normal pillows?
No, it's totally different.
Like, does it say, like, a grandma's house is always warm or something on it? Or, like, what? Like, how do people know it's your grandma's?
I know it's my grandma's pillow. It's like a little round cylinder pillow. And my grandpa actually had a matching one. Mm-hmm. So when he passed away, I took his and brought it into my bed too. And now between my husband and my daughter, we're all fighting over the two little pillows.
Wow. Somehow Jessica's made it sound very sweet.
Yes, she this has. Is sweet.
She's made her own creepiness sound adorable.
When you travel, do you have to bring it with you?
I do.
You do?
Wow. I'd love to hear your husband's version of this story and how he feels about having constant reminders of your grandmother in the marital bed.
I don't think he minds because he tries to take it all the time.
Okay. Her family's fighting over it, according to Jessica. Again, I would like to hear the rest of the family story. Oh, yeah, we're fighting over it.
Thank you for the call, Jessica. We appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's go Molly, Newport Beach, line 4, up next on K-Rock.
Hey, Molly.
Hi.
Hi there.
All the ladies, by the way. Have
yes,
you noticed
all
that?
Ladies and Bean.
Mm-hmm. So I was gifted a baby blanket when I was born by a family friend, and it's never really left my side. And I feel like I grew up pretty normal. I don't have any, like, childhood trauma. I'm a good person. It just, you know.
No one's saying you're not a good person.
Yeah, we're just saying you're a total creepball. Hey, right. Listen, so what is the condition it's in right now, 33 years later?
I say a prayer every time I wash it. It's like, I sometimes too will wake up and one of the little things, because it's totally shredded, is like around my neck. So yeah, I probably shouldn't sleep with it.
By the way, Molly, that would be the saddest way to die.
Right? Oh, God.
Do you have to travel with it?
Not anymore.
Okay. Not anymore.
Wow, progress.
Not anymore.
Gross.
And an ex-boyfriend did find it under my bed, and I was absolutely mortified, but I still sleep with it because, it just gives me comfort.
There you go. That's the word, comfort. Who can be against comfort, you guys?
I mean, sure. I'm sure Dahmer had a blanket that 100% left him comforted, too.
I don't know that you turned Molly and me into Jeffrey Dahmer.
I mean, it's sort of the same thing.
Very similar.
We're just trying to relax. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Molly.
Sure, okay.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, it's Friday morning. Jensen is here in for Allie. It's time for one of our favorite segments of the whole week. We call it the That's My Jam update.
So listen, we don't program our own station, which is both a blessing and a curse. A curse, an idea that sometimes we'll hear songs that just get played every single day and we're like, ugh. But a blessing in a sense that we would hear the new Taylor Swift song 14 times in a row if Bean got to pick.
Yeah, very true.
So listen, every week we ask everyone here on staff at the Kevin and Bean Morning Show, what would you put on a playlist for this weekend? What do you want to hear? What do you want to put out into this world? And so everyone gives a suggestion, contributes. It's beautiful.
Even Beer Mug, by the way, and I'm still not sure how he made the cut.
Even Beer
what?
Mug.
What? We're still putting his songs on?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Even though they get progressively sadder every week based on how his life is going.
He is real close to an Elliott Smith pick.
He is.
So yeah, it has over 100 songs, over almost 6 hours of music. If you listen to it on Shuffle, it's awesome. You can get to it by going to our Twitter or any of our Facebook or social media at Kevin and Bean. So this week we have a brand new batch of songs. Kevin, let's start with you.
Mine is a rapper by the name of Max Wasson.
And it is rare that I don't know a rapper. I have never heard of Young Max.
Which doesn't surprise me because when I started looking for info on him, there is none.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to his Instagram and he's got 1,100 followers. You know what I mean? Like, he's a brand new artist. This is only his fourth song.
Some may even say, you're getting us up on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Only the fourth song that he's ever put out. His family was born in Canada. He was raised in Sweden. And Bean, you're going to love this part of it. In Sweden, he got abused like a crazy person. He was just getting beaten up. He had to change schools 3 times. And he says because of that, he turned to hip-hop.
Hmm.
And that's sort of what got him into it. There is a YouTube video of this song. It's basically, he must be high, is all I can get from this. Because the first thing that I noticed is the groove, the music. Before I even heard the lyrics, I heard the groove and I was like, that's dope. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought. Huh, okay.
Yeah. So, but then I went back and I started listening to the lyrics, and it's clearly a he's high fever dream about ordering all kinds of different food.
Okay.
The guy's name is Max Wasson, and the name of the song is We Cookin'.
All the smells in the air as I float to a chair. She like, you ready to order right? At the whole place going like, get the pizza party resta. Pass the calamari alley.
I love that song.
Max
Wasson. He's high.
Right? That's what I thought.
Definitely high.
Way
absolutely.
High.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max Wesson.
Ah, very good pick. Bean, it's your turn.
You have heard Kay Flay on K-Rock in the past. She had a great song last year called Blood in the Cut, for which she was nominated for a Grammy. She's a singer, songwriter, rapper, musician. She has a brand new song just out this week. Kay Flay's latest is called Sister.
If somebody hurts you, then I'm gonna kill somebody for you. I wanna be your sister.
Love that.
I she's real good, and I have frequently complained here at K-Rock about us not playing enough female artists because there is so much tremendous music being made by women in rock and roll right now, and very little of it makes it to the mainstream. Kay Flay is somebody who I think deserves a wider audience.
Agreed. All right, my pick. Listen, Dreamville is a collaborative group put together by J. Cole and his record label. They released two singles last night. This is one of the most anticipated albums of 2019. It's called Return of the Dreamers 3. So these are the sort of the first two things that you've heard. And one of them is great. I love both of them, but one is really a standout. It is called Down Bud, I believe. Down Bad, sorry. And it features J. Cole, J.I.D., Young Nutty, Baz, and Earth Gang. Again, Down Bad.
My seat been picking up racks, raps coming clear to act if you two, and I'm back in the booth, got them hacking the shackers, they lacking the juice. Dropping the ball, they on shagging a fool. Activists drew down the side of your face, we ain't jacking it. We ain't dabbing them fools, get a nap, you do just embarrassing. Who going crazy like us, no comparison. Driven like Marion Jones on the steroids, y'all the flow is at high. Y'all had a year, y'all had a year, y'all had a year, but you let it go by.
I was the down, down bad. I had to tighten the fuck up, but I'm here for the crown, crown. I was the down, down bad. I had to tighten.
There it is.
That's pretty strong, too.
Nice.
Allie is out for the day, so stepping in with her pick. She still sent in her song, which is a commitment to her job. Bean, what is it?
The band is called Spooky Mansion. They are based in San Francisco, and they're real good. They're kind of a surf rock sound. They got a little soul sound to them. They got three or four albums out right now, and this is their most recent song. It is called Brink of Death. I'd love to know how Allie discovered them. Again, the band is called Spooky Mansion, and they're kind of tough to Google because apparently there's a board game called that, and there's a movie called that. There's a lot of stuff called Spooky Mansion, but this is the band, and the song that Allie picked for this week's That's My Jam is called Brink of Death. A nice summertime vibe on that one.
It is a good jam there. Again, the playlist has been completely updated. You can get to it now just by going to our social media or Facebook at Kevin and Bean. And some birthdays. Boy George from Culture Club. Happy birthday to that guy. Steffi Graf, Diablo Cody, Lucy Hale, the upcoming number 3 NBA draft pick, RJ Barrett, and also the owner of Trump Steaks, Donald Trump. And that's what's going on.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First, though, we could not be more delighted to welcome to the studio the hottest actor in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
Producer, actor in Hollywood.
He is the hottest actor in Hollywood. The producer, writer, actor from Always Be My Maybe on Netflix. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Randall Park is joining us. Randall, how are you, man?
I'm good. It's so good to be here.
It's great to see you. You know, until the Netflix movie, I remembered you best as Octopus Man from Fastlane.
Which is your greatest credit.
That's a classic moment in television history.
Octopus Man. I didn't know we had Octopus Man coming in.
How early in the career is Octopus Man?
That's my very first, like, network TV credit.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like something like interesting, like I'm a villain of mm-hmm. some, but uh-huh. really I was a waiter serving octopus.
and you're lucky they didn't describe it that way, because it sounds better the way
I thought I was waiting for some sort of Marvel spinoff with Octopus Man. That's hilarious.
I had one line and it was Octopus Gentleman, and that was it.
Can we hear it again? That seemed magical.
Octopus Gentleman.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah. Very nice.
So, Randall, you know, I made reference to the fact that you're the hottest actor in Hollywood. Okay. And I know you're laughing, but I mean, everything has come together all these years that you've been working. And you are an actor who's been in things that everybody has seen. And I bet that when you're out on the street or in an airport or whatever, you have no idea what people are going to know you from when they walk up. There'll be Aquaman people, there'll be Veep people, there'll be Drunk History people. You just don't know, right?
Don't know. It's always like, Wild and Out.
Yeah, sure.
Like and then sometimes just random commercials. Like,
or wrongly, they'll say Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Which seems racist.
How many people, they clearly recognize you, they see you, they lock you in, they go, that's... I know that guy.
Oh, yeah.
But not from what they can't place you.
All the time.
And then do they make you go? A lot of times, people like that will make you go through your IMDb.
Oh, exactly.
And they go, no, that's not it.
That has happened when I've been hanging out with Randall before. We went to a concert. This is actually kind of a crazy story. We went to a concert the week the interview was supposed to come out.
Right.
And Randall's face was on national news every single day. And he had gained how much weight to play Kim Jong?
Like 15.
15,
pounds,
20 pounds. Yeah. 20 and so pounds. We're out, and he's skinny Randall Park and walking around. And people would look at him like, where do I know him? And you can see them playing in their head, I saw him on the news today, I think. Like, it was like they didn't even know what to think of him.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of... And also,
what
I think...
What world they know him from.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too. Like, when you got the role on Fresh Off the Boat, which is a show you're on weekly, I remember we had a conversation where you're like, well, I guess I'm a sitcom dad.
Yeah.
But now it's like this whole month has been like Randall Park Appreciation Month of even just being like a sex symbol, you weirdo. Like,
that's so strange.
So strange. This up and down. Like, did you ever expect this kind of evolution for you?
No, for me, I just wanted to work. Like, I would just, if a job presented itself, I would do it because I just needed money. And I loved acting, so and really any
but in that order, right, Randall?
Yeah, in that order.
Needed money, loved acting.
Loved acting, exactly. Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it just so happened that all these different kind of things came to me, and I look back on it, and it was all super fun.
Yeah. We're going to spend a lot of time on Always Be My Baby because it's amazing and we can't wait. But I have to ask some Veep questions first.
Yeah.
So you had a recurring role on Veep for a number of years.
Yeah.
You were a war hero governor, right?
Yeah, the governor of Minnesota, Danny
Minnesota,
Chung.
Right.
Yeah.
Danny Chung. Tell me about that experience now that the late, great Veep is gone. Was something you'll treasure for the rest of your life, I hope?
Yes. I mean, it was surreal just being with, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and surrounded by, I mean, they were like killers, these guys. They were all like, they were the best
and
at comedy.
And somehow that show was able to not throw away any of them.
Yeah.
They made all of them important in some way.
Yeah. So, and then Armando Iannucci, just to do anything associated with that guy was just mm-hmm. like incredible, and it was a dream come true.
You're a big improv guy, and that is a set full of the greatest improvers ever, right?
Yes, and I would barely improv. I just sit there watching them,
a little afraid, a little intimidated.
but it was a great time and a great role. Like, just to be able to play a character like that who is kind of, suspect.
At best.
But yeah, I really cherish that show and then my time on that show.
Did it change your opinion of politics?
A little. I mean, no. I kind of went in knowing a little bit about that world, and it
you love it. Like I all love of us. It.
But yeah, it did make me a little bit sad about the world.
Back to Always Be My Maybe. You wrote the script with Ali Wong and Michael Golomko. Where did you have you known Ali forever? Or?
Yeah, I know. So I went to UCLA, and while I was there, I co-founded a theater company, and right after I graduated, Ali joined that theater company, and it was through kind of mutual friends in that theater company that we became friends. Yeah.
Have you ever worked together before?
Yeah. I mean, on a bunch of things just over the years. We were in an improv troupe like ages ago. Mm. And so we did that. And she...
Had you ever made out before this movie?
No, never.
Is that super weird when you're now... You're doing a sex scene basically with someone you've been friends with forever.
Yeah. You know, I think it was weird leading up to it, but we talked a lot about it and we like prepared ourselves a lot about it. And Allie's very into communication. Let's make sure when we're in that moment that we've got all the weird thoughts out of the way and we just commit to the moment. And it wasn't weird while it was happening because we were just acting, but leading up to it we had a lot of discussions.
Did you work out before that?
I did.
As Jensen said, you're a sex symbol now. Yeah.
That's right.
We're talking
That's
about
right.
your arms and your
I
chest
know.
And everything.
I did about 10 push-ups.
Yes. That showed. How do you keep up that rate?
You got America very thirsty after that movie. Very I got to tell you, Randall.
And the Keanu Renaissance. We have you
we
got to
pause.
Right,
we got to pause right
when we
there.
Come back, we'll get into Keanu.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's insane. Everything about this movie is great, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Keanu is just the cherry on top. Ooh. Always Be My Maybe, which I have so much trouble saying, is on Netflix now. Randall Park is our guest. Quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Randall Park has joined us in the studio.
Great.
Hey.
It's great.
Co-producer, co-writer, actor from Always Be My Maybe on Netflix. I got the impression, Randall, that, you know, so much attention is paid to box office numbers when a new film comes out in theaters. Yeah. Everybody's talking about the box office. We don't get that kind of breakdown for Netflix.
Yeah.
But the feeling that I got, and tell me if this was what it was like for you on the inside of it, is that everybody... watched this movie the first weekend it was available. I mean, it seemed like that's all anybody was talking about when Monday rolled around after it dropped. Did it seem like that to you?
Yeah, it did. You know, I was doing press like right after it dropped and while it was dropping, and I was in the Newark airport about to go to Toronto, and I was getting stopped left and right by everybody. Of all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And it was
about Always Be My Maybe.
About Always Be My Maybe specifically. It
came
wasn't like
the very end of May.
Yeah. Usually it's like, hey, Crazy Rich Asians. Hey. But it was like Always Be My Maybe, and it was great. It was great, and everybody
Netflix
was so positive.
Is the biggest thing in the world, isn't it?
I mean things get seen. For
you
sure.
Got a you got an amazing cast of largely Asian and Asian American actors. Yeah. We mentioned Ali Wong. You also have Charlene Yee is great in this. Daniel Day Kim is great in this. Yeah. The actor, I don't know his name, who plays Ali's father is incredible in this movie.
Oh, yes.
He's great.
Yeah.
And then Asian American actor Keanu Reeves.
who I mean, Randall Park is having a moment, and there might be only one person having a bigger moment, and that is Keanu Reeves.
Keanu is everywhere doing everything right now and doing it flawlessly. You have to tell the story, and I know you've told it many times before, but our audience will love hearing the Keanu connection here.
Yeah, well, you know, we wrote the part in as Keanu
for
in
him,
the script.
Right? Yeah.
For him,
mm-hmm.
we just did not. Ever in our wildest dreams expect to get him. We had no connection to him, you know. But we wrote the script and we sent it to him, and we had a whole list of other people ready to go.
Who was next? Who was second?
DJ Qualls, obviously.
You're not going there. Okay.
I mean, it went from, you know, great to just like me with a fake beard on, you know, like it was. but we sent it to him and he got it. He totally got it. He was game. He had suggestions. So many of his suggestions made it into the movie.
Is that right?
Yeah. He improvised.
You didn't have to humor him because he's Keanu Reeves by going, okay, that's a great idea. No. Let's do that now.
No, he had great ideas and he was totally willing to like make fun of his public persona and the whole like no lenses in the glasses thing. That was his idea.
So funny.
So good.
Yeah. He
explain
was
how
great.
He comes into the story. Between the two of you.
So in the story, my character, Marcus, is finally realizes he's in love with his friend, Sasha, played by Ali Wong. And the moment he's ready to kind of confess his feelings to her.
Finally.
Yeah. After so many years of being friends since they were kids, she tells him she has a new boyfriend. And we find out it's Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves playing himself.
It's his worst night. It's Marcus's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
and he's just so great in it. I mean, he's hilarious.
A larger thing that's going on right now is this sort of like Asian Renaissance in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and how important it is to you. Because we've talked about this before. Is like. It's going from saying, oh, this is an Asian movie, into mm-hmm. just this is a movie.
Yeah.
And your movie, I think, does it flawlessly in a way that other movies have never done it before. So I'm wondering how important that is to you for that kind of evolution to happen.
Really important. I mean, our goal in creating this movie was to make a great rom-com that's super funny. That was it. And the Asian Americanness of it's a part of who we are, so it's a part of the script. But ultimately, we wanted it to be a story that resonated with everybody. And according to the Newark Airport, it resonated.
The extremely Asian American Newark Airport.
Right. If I could just say, the words rom-com to me mean a certain box of what that type of movie is.
Yeah.
Your movie exceeds that by a lot.
Oh, man,
it's
thank
so
you.
Much smarter and wittier, and it really stands out as just a movie.
I appreciate that.
It doesn't fall into the little box of rom-com.
Yeah, that's really nice of you to say. I we love rom-coms, and that definitely was on our mind while we were writing it. But we wanted to do things different. You know, we
Jensen, would you mind critiquing Randall's rapping in the film?
I don't need to. He knows. He knows. I think he's a beast. He did drop the mic, and he. If you ever have a 4 minutes. Just Google James Vanderbeek versus Randall Park, and Randall took what we had, added, and made it better. And he's just—I mean, we connect through hip hop. And
did you love doing that for the movie, Randall?
It was fun. It was,
I would pay to see your band. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Lyrics Born is in the band.
Lyrics Born,
who Randall and I grew up listening to. He's like an underground legend.
Yeah, he plays Quasar in the band, the guy who brings out the tennis balls, and that was a thrill. It was a thrill. It was like while we were writing it, I was thinking, oh, it would be great to get Lyrics Born in the band.
And Allie's like, who's Lyrics Born?
and then we reached out and he auditioned and we were like, oh, he's a great actor too. And it just worked out. And
everything about this was serendipitous, it seems like.
Yeah,
it all worked out. Well,
sure.
We can't recommend it enough, you guys. It's one of the best movies of 2019. You can see it on Netflix. It is called Always Be My Maybe. I know we'll be seeing Randall again soon because he's so busy. But before you go, we have a feature we do on the show called 60 Seconds With. Jensen is going to be firing questions at you for one full minute. Just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Oh, gosh. I'm not good at these things.
Oh, come on. This is a real wild and out section.
Okay.
60 seconds.
Here we go.
With Randall Park.
Okay.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
A fireman.
Related, what's the worst job you ever had?
I was a graphic designer designing porn ads.
Oh, wow. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Better backpack rap group, Blackalicious or Reflection Eternal?
Oof. Reflection Eternal.
All right. Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Is Keanu our new Lord and Savior?
Yes.
What's something people would be surprised to find out about you?
That I can play music on my teeth, I guess.
Whoa. All right. Favorite Culkin brother?
Macaulay.
All right. Do you collect anything?
I'm into watches right now.
You are.
Yeah.
Opinion, is there currently too much TV?
No.
All right. Walnuts, worst nut ever or hot dirt?
Worst nut.
What's your move when a jury duty summons shows up in your mail?
What's my what?
Your move when a jury duty summons comes
in
the mail.
I do it because I'm a good citizen.
Can we go back to Play's music with his teeth?
Yeah, what is that?
If we could just revisit that for a second?
I can play tunes on my teeth.
I mean,
by how? With like your fingers?
How?
Yeah, with my fingers. Like,
let's hear one.
I'll do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Yeah, see?
That may be the best thing I've ever heard.
How long have you been doing that?
I don't know, since maybe middle school.
How did you discover it? Who sits there and goes, you know what? I might be able to play music with my teeth.
I was a bored kid.
Unbelievable. Well, that's your best job. I don't know what your worst job was. Very good.
Randall, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Thank you.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
So we're at the Weenie Roast. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it popped into my head, you guys, but I felt like I should share it with you.
I don't either, because you're not...
quote-unquote athletic.
The jock type.
Right. Right. We were just sitting there, and someone says, you're about to go out there to introduce a band, and they're all holding their microphones. They said, 20 seconds. We go, great. So we sort of get ready, and he turns to us, and he goes, you know, I've always wanted to run a marathon. And we literally were like, what? And he's like, I'd do one right now. And I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, that made no sense.
And so... obviously, we clung to it, and sure. Now we've said, you know, Muggs, myself, and Bean have all said we would probably run a marathon. We're very early in this.
Yes, we're just discussing it.
Bean says it's a complete thought, and it's a done deal. I'm not even sure we're there yet.
But I will tell you that Muggs is a runner,
sure.
And Jensen has been a serious runner, like 5 miles a day.
And you, Bean?
I have hustled once to beat a red light across a crosswalk. That was the extent of my running.
But only the first half.
Yeah, then I strolled. So we started talking about this yesterday on the air. And by the way, tons of listeners weighing in going, I trained for a marathon in 6 months and I ran a marathon. I never thought I would run one, but I did it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have done it. This is not an impossible task. Our friend Bert Kreischer, the machine, he ran a marathon with zero training. But I heard from a number of Kevin and Bean listeners who said, hey, why don't you check in with your best friend in Hollywood, Jimmy Pardo, who has run multiple marathons, and get some tips from him. And I thought, well, if Jimmy can do it, I can do it. That's what I thought.
Is that true, Jimmy Pardo?
Well, I don't like that take on it at all. I think the take should be if Bert Kreischer could finish one, you could do it.
So,
where do you think the shirt came off with Bert Kreischer? Before the...
He started with his shirt off, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. Jimmy, even though you're my best friend in Hollywood, I guess I didn't realize that you've run multiple marathons. How did you get started? Were you always a runner?
Well, first of all, we talked about it the last time I was on the show.
We did.
I don't listen to the show.
We did.
I don't listen to the show.
I forget what it was, but I do one of those stupid mud run things, the Warrior Dash, and I had never done nothing. And so some friends said, let's do the Warrior Dash. I was like, well, I better get prepared for that. So I got ready to do that, which was only 3 miles. Okay. I then said, hey, I'm enjoying this running thing. I could see maybe doing a half marathon someday. And then a fan of Never Not Funny, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny, he contacted me and said, hey, my wife is involved in that rock and roll one that they do around Halloween, and you could be part of their team. So maybe you want to train for that. So I got an app. These are on your telephone, the application.
Okay, look into that, sure.
And then that walked me through how to get ready for it, and I went literally from, running not even a mile a day to then training for the half marathon. I did that, and then kind of got addicted to it, ran a bunch of half marathons, and then when it was time for the 2000, let's see, what is this, 19, I didn't do 19, I did 18, 17, 16. When it came time for the 2016 marathon to sign up, I said, I'm going to give that a try, and I did it. How's that for an answer?
Now,
is that helpful?
Well, yes. Here's the thing, is Bean skipping all of that story right up until the last 5 seconds.
how do you feel about starting with a marathon?
I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. Well, first of all, you've got to get, in your training, you've got to get to the half marathon, so why not train for the half marathon, which would be like in October here in the Los Angeles area, and then the marathon. Well, you're going to be over in England running around. Well, that's why, Ireland?
That's part of the reason why there's a sense of urgency to do it before I go.
All right. Is there time for a half marathon before the marathon, Bean?
Yes, of course. There is. Okay. I can do a half marathon after the show today.
Oh, you can't do anything. You barely run across the street, you just said.
Look, I just...
You're being disrespectful to people that run.
Jimmy, in all seriousness, how hard can it be? You just put one foot in front of the other, and you don't stop until you cross the finish line. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Here's my favorite part of that sentence is, it's easy.
It is easy.
It is not easy, okay. You a-hole. It's very difficult. You could get hurt. I pulled, you know, I snapped my IT band several times. you can get hurt. This is Jensen's pipe in here. You run.
Jensen's running too.
I haven't run in about a year, but I mean, before that, I was doing 5 miles a day, about 6 days a week. And I would say it is difficult, but I think if Bean wanted to commit to getting into shape, it is a very easy pastime to follow the schedule on. And then you become good at it.
Yes, of course, but the way he's running his mouth is that he wants to do it tomorrow.
Well, I could do it after the show today.
I'm a busy man. You can do it after the show.
That's what he said. He said he could do a half marathon after the show today.
Jimmy, what did the app teach you?
Boy, you know what? I don't know if it taught me anything as much as it just kind of was inspirational. I know that sounds odd, but that it you know, I guess maybe just put me on I guess you could really just Google train for marathon and print that out, and that would be the same as the app. But
it just gave you a schedule, goalpost to hit.
There's the word I'm looking for, schedule. Thank you. I recommended you Google how to do it instead of just go to the word schedule. What a jerk.
Award-winning podcast. That's
right?
Not funny.
Yeah. What about the nipples, Jimmy? That's the one thing I do read about.
Boy,
tell me about that.
Yeah. I will tell you that, you got to put some Vaseline, or they've got you know, special products for that.
That's for real, though. That's a legit thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the nipple, it's awful. If it's anywhere near a chilly day and you've got the wrong shirt on, now I'm on Chrysler side. Take that shirt off.
Also, can we bring up the poops? Is that something we should talk about, Jimmy?
Not with me. I mean, you get your report on that when I hang up.
There are people who have issues during
marriage. They just power on.
I'm not ever competing to be the first guy to win, to finish. So if I have to use the restroom, I stop and use the restroom. And if it means I got to add 3 to 5 minutes to my time, who cares?
Okay. And does that go for lunch as well? Could you stop and like at an Olive Garden or something on the way?
Stop yourself a nice has maybe something open faced, whatever you like.
I don't know if you heard, but Olive Garden was his choice.
Well, I just throw it out there.
Listen, you're like family when you go there. So they
all right. Well, listen, I am. I don't know if you guys. Your plan was to discourage me by having Jimmy Pardo.
Well, I don't know. What's your reaction to Jimmy?
My reaction is it's easier now than I ever thought it was.
Jimmy, your thoughts?
Look, here's the honest to God truth. Not trying to be funny, Ray. I never thought I could do it either, and I just started training to do it, and it worked out, and I enjoyed doing it, and like I said, I've done three. I don't know if I would ever do a fourth one. I think maybe I've gotten that out of my system. But I do think with the you got to properly train or else you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, because right. You do have to keep in mind, Bean's legs do look like if toothpicks had veins.
That's right. So it's dangerous.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. You have not discouraged me, Jimmy.
And how's that possible?
And I will talk to you more about this offline. But thank you for coming on and sharing your experience. And I do urge everyone to go to the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. NeverNotFunny.com is where you'll find
it. I just want to jump in and say the episode with Jay Moore was fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes he's a great friend of your show and my show, and I'm happy to know him.
Thanks for coming on today, Jimmy. We appreciate it,
Jimmy. Bye-bye.
You bet, you guys. Good luck to everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks, bye.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We have been doing Keep It 100 on the program for 94 consecutive weeks.
Years. Oh,
it seems like years. Seems like years. Again, every Friday, you get to pick the song. We call it Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm going to keep it
100. 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
And as always, you amaze us with your excellent choices for music you'd like to hear on The Kevin and Bean Show, including Felix in the 714 asking for plus 44 when your heart stops beating. He was texter 99, unfortunately. Sometimes, though, we get Macklemore's thrift shop as a request. Sorry, Kyle. Texter 101. Dodge that bullet. But we do have texter 100 on the line, and I think this is going to be Brian from Whittier who joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Morning, Brian.
Hey. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Thank you.
What's going on, man? How's your Friday going?
Oh, great, great so far. Can't complain.
All right, good to hear. That's very rare these days for somebody who has nothing to complain about. I mean, you're barely an American.
Is this true. No one would listen anyway. So.
Right. Is this the first time you have texted in on Keep It 100?
It's not. I've been texting the last 94 years or so.
Same song?
So, no, a different song.
Different
actually.
Song?
Yeah, I felt like hearing this one today. It hasn't been played in a while. So.
Okay, well, we'll give you a chance to introduce it to the listeners. What do you got for us, Brian?
This is Figure It Out by Royal Blood.
I let it go, cause I won't see you later when we're not allowed to talk it out. I said I'd go, put myself on the show, but I'm still trying to figure it out. I brought my suit, took the bet on you, but you didn't know I planned it out. I said I'd go, yeah, I won't see you later when we're not allowed to figure it out.
How good does that sound?
How great is that band, by the way? In the tradition of two-piece outfits like the Black Keys and the White Stripes, that is Mike and Ben from the band Royal Blood, requested by Brian moments ago from Whittier. He was Texter 100 for this week's Keep It 100. Jensen, you're filling in for Allie today with What's Happening. I guess you got to fill in on the Keep It 100 game, too. What year was Figure It Out by Royal Blood all the rage here at K-Rock?
Well, I think this technically would be the most recent Keep It 100 we've ever had.
I think so too, yeah.
Which puts me at 2014?
Yes!
Yeah.
You didn't do the Alley game where you go, okay, I think it's in the 2000s.
No, he just looked it up.
No, I didn't. I swear. It's a brand new. It's a brand new era, kids.
Yes, Figure It Out by Royal Blood. We were just all marveling at how great that song is and how that band should be way bigger than they are.
Agreed.
We've been lucky enough to have them on a couple of acoustic Christmases in Weenie Roast, and they are just amazing. So if you don't know them, check them out. And we'll do it again next Friday for Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
It's a shame there's no
way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friend, so let me break it down for you as it officially ends. We came off a weekend and we finished a vision. I was on stage yelling, now give it up for Limp Bizkit. And once again, we played some Slang Man clips, and we had to admit that Kevin's a bacon bitch. And Bleak 182 has a new secret show where you have to win from K-Rock in order to go. Who's Baby Godzilla? Was your dream real? Should I honk my horn? Was DJ Khaled's deal? These questions we answered, or at least we tried. Randall Park and Rob Delaney were obliged to stop by. So did Jeff Ross and Dave Attell, of course. Bean's running a marathon, although he's never played sports. At least we think that Jail might be a blast. So respect to Little Weasel, download the podcast.
I hope the birthday present you get from Mom and Dad makes this very special day the best you ever had. Oh. Happy birthday, Allie!
Oh, Louie, that's delightful. Go. Once again, Jensen makes the show sound way better than it is, but if any of that sounds interesting to you, you ought to check the podcast because it's available at radio.com or wherever you get yours. Did we make a note that we want to talk to people maybe next week, Kevin, who did time in jail and thought it was pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, prison wasn't that bad is how I wrote it. Sure.
Yes, I'm fascinated for that phone topic because I think we're on to something with this, Jensen.
I talked to my wife about it last night, and she agrees. She thinks book time... And you get to work on yourself and your body.
Yeah.
And they also food plan.
But we're specifying white collar, right? Because if it's not white collar, now you're in a whole world of
hurt. I mean, mind your business, man.
Okay.
Get in there, keep your head down, read books, bro. That's what I'm saying.
Plus, Little Weasel has nothing to worry about.
Nah, Little Weasel ain't got nothing to worry about.
You're fine.
Nah.
Same with right. Professor Pussy.
That nickname's not going to stick.
Jensen
is filling in for what's happening for the final time this week. What's happening?
You guys, new Taylor Swift music. It is a big deal on the internet.
It's a bop is what it is.
And that's the thing, is the new album is called Lover. That'll be coming out August 23rd. 18 songs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of tracks. But she released a big surprise new single called You Need to Calm Down. Now, keep in mind, she did release Me, featuring Brendan Urie, a K-Rock artist, Panic at the Disco, and people were sort of iffy on it. I don't think it was a big hit. But I will tell you, the response to the new song, You Need to Calm Down, is overwhelmingly positive. Let's listen to a clip.
Sunshine on the street at the parade, but you would rather be in the dark ages making that sign. Must have taken all night. You just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. Cause shade never made anybody less gay. So
that's the Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
I will say that you very rarely hear somebody take on homophobia in a pop lyric.
That's right, especially someone like Taylor Swift, who has went out of her way in the past to not be political.
Mm-hmm.
She recently, I think within the last year, said that she's going to take her responsibility with a little more seriousness. And I think she did on this single here. It would seem.
Yeah, and the other verses address other kinds of negative people.
Like trollishness.
And women who, tear down other women and stuff. And I think that's what she's talking about here, is just a lot of people are putting a lot of energy and effort into negativity.
Yeah.
And maybe we'd all be a little better off if that weren't the case. So I think that's a good message and a good song.
How many times will you listen to it this weekend?
I don't know. I did wait up till 9 p.m. for it to drop last night.
Okay.
It's late night for me. Mm-hmm. And listened to it 3 times in a row before I went to bed and felt good about it.
How about you, Kevin? How many times?
I didn't even listen to that clip.
Okay. While it was on, you just tuned out.
Kevin has a, you know how you can mute certain people in your social media? Kevin, in real life, is able to mute Taylor Swift. He never hears her.
It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Talking about new music, today a lot of rap fans will be sitting in front of Twitter or SoundCloud or wherever Drake decides to release two brand new songs, Omerta and Money in the Grave, which features Rick Ross, and he's doing it in celebration of the Toronto Raptors championship
ring. After he won the championship, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He was most valuable player, wasn't
right,
he?
Yeah. That's right. He was wearing a jersey, the shorts, all everything. He was jumping up and down, chugging champagne. He said this was for... the funniest part is when he went, number one, he said, I need more dip on my chip, which I don't understand where that reference comes from.
I love it, though.
But then he also dedicated the win to Kevin Durant to get better soon, and also Big Poppy to get better soon. So Drake is really pretty much an athlete at this point. But yes, he will be releasing a 2 brand new songs today. That'll be a very big deal, so keep your eyes out.
I know we didn't have time to get to it today. We've had a very busy show with lots of wonderful guests, but I'm so fascinated with, and you've been familiar with Kawhi Leonard for a long time, but mm-hmm. I've been so fascinated with what I've learned about him throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
That there's no one who's ever been more famous who less wants to be a celebrity.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
He's so low-key.
Yeah, they've been releasing fake stories throughout the week of things about him, and you can't tell the difference between the fake ones and the real ones. Like, people will just be like, on weekends, he likes to just work as a carpenter on the side by using thumbtack, and everyone's like, that makes sense.
Certainly could be true.
He's just so stoic, man.
Yeah.
So, doesn't
do any social media, no. Doesn't like to do interviews, just wants nothing. He just wants to play basketball and then live the rest of his life.
He also looks the exact same when they're losing by 20. Or up by 20.
Yeah. Yes.
He has a shoe deal with New Balance. I mean, that's real.
That's as low-key as you can get.
Cardi B, guys, is saying that she's quitting plastic surgery. As you know, she recently was forced to postpone multiple concerts to spend proper time recovering from liposuction and breast augmentation, and she says she's over it.
Press. Cardi don't need more press.
I've been waiting for that drop. Cardi showed fans her swollen feet on Instagram stories, saying, look how swollen my feet get every time I take a plane. Imagine my body. Reasons told to me to chill out on shows. My stomach gets even more puffy. I don't know. Here's my thing. Cardi B didn't need all this surgery, in my opinion.
I agree.
And now here she is saying that she's, you know, basically it's affecting her business.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's offensive. I feel like we as a society are telling female rappers to get hotter and we should stop. Thank you. Some celebrity birthdays. Boy George from the Culture Club. Steffi Graf, she's a tennis star. Diablo Cody, she wrote Juno, a movie that weirdly gets a bad rap, but I still like it.
I like that too.
Lucy Hale, Duke basketball player, about to be the number 3 pick in the NBA draft, most likely a New York Knick. RJ Barrett, and someone you may have seen on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, actor Donald Trump.
Yay!
And that's what's going on.
Thank you, Jensen. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free for all with Stryker and Klein. Didn't sound like I was going to get through that, did
it? Nope. But you did.
A random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You got on the phone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And she beat him off.
One thing before you go, I'd like you to know how grateful I am for you. There's only one in this wonderful world. You are special.
Final whistle. What a night. USA fans are celebrating this one.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
There's my life. Deal with it. Oh, wait. Can't process it. Losers. Winning. Bye-bye.
Bong, bong.
Smoke weed every day.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Yeah, see?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.